Welcome to the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. My name is Mike, and I'm here with my son, Joseph.
Together, we are learning sports one game at a time.
Thank you for tuning in today. We have a surprise bonus episode to end our fifth season on the Sliders and Curveballs podcast that came together rather quickly over Joseph's Christmas break. And here we are on UConn's campus right beside Gamble Pavilion.
Where else would we be to end a magical basketball year other than Storrs, Connecticut, the basketball capital of the world? Help us say goodbye to 2023 and hello to Hassan Diarra.
Welcome to the show, national champion, number 10 from Queens, New York, Hassan Diarra.
Thanks for having me, man.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on your break between Big East games. Now, you just got done with practice. I hope everything went well.
Yes, it was very smooth.
Smooth, okay. And I'm hearing Coach Hurley, he takes it easy on you guys during for some holiday cheer.
No shot of that.
Okay. No. All right. Well, he's got to keep you guys sharp because if I'm not mistaken, you have a game on Tuesday against DePaul.
Yes.
So man, we got to be ready to go.
We're sharpening up the tools. We're getting ready to go, man.
I love it. Well, why don't we get warmed up with Joseph and we'll do a little shoot around just to kind of make sure we're nice and ready to go and we'll have some fun.
Welcome, Hassan. Let's take a few layups and jump shots together.
Let's do it.
I've seen you wearing a Yankees hat. I'm a Boston kid. If you could hang out with any New York Yankee, past or present, who would it be and where would you guys go together?
Derek Jeter. We'll go to a restaurant in New York City somewhere. Probably Del Frisco's, just to pick his brain. He's a cool guy and he's a legend.
I love it. That's great. One of the classiest Yankees ever.
Yes.
If you have a big test coming up at school and need brain food, what's your go-to fat food spot in Storrs?
I would say I'll go to a spot called Eat Joy. They serve great food, and there's great people in there.
That's nice.
What kind of food do they serve? It's right here in Storrs. Is it like the Storrs Center?
It's in Storrs Center. They have sushi bowls.
Oh,
so
neat.
It's kind of healthy. So I like going there a lot.
And Joe loves sushi.
Yeah. A lot of us, we go there a lot.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
I heard you and Mama do like bowling. My dad bowled in both duck pin and 10 pin leagues most of his life. Who is the better Diarra brother? And what's your best score ever?
I mean, come on. Like, you know I'm going to say myself, of course.
All right.
I'm way better bowler than him, though.
Now, Mama do just walked by. If he comes in here...
He's not very good at bowling. I'm not okay. Gonna lie. He's not a bowler. But my best score is probably, I'll say I'm 260.
Ooh.
I did like a 250 one time.
Oh, that's up there.
But that was my best one ever. Like, I never got close to that ever.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
I think my highest is probably 230.
Yeah. I
260
hit,
beats
I hit like
that.
250 and... I've never done that again.
Now, have you ever tried, which is a Connecticut game, duck pin bowling, which is the small ball?
I've never tried that.
So you take three of them to knock down the pins. But just to give you an example, and this isn't a perfect example, but I averaged in 10-pin leagues about 150.
Okay.
So I didn't throw a real lot of strikes, but I could have 7-8 marks. Yeah. 150 comparatively to duck pin, where the pins, you could rip the middle for two. Not every ball down the center is going to be a strike.
Yeah.
And then you get three balls to try to get a 10. Two would get you a mark, of course. I averaged about 115.
Okay.
So 150 is a 115 in duck pin. So, but 260, that's really nice. And then the third one's called candle pin. That's where the pins are thin.
I've never heard of
it. And then when they fall over, you don't clear the deadwood. You use the pins that are down, and you throw your next ball, and it allows you to crash into them.
Oh,
the thing is, the ball only weighs like a tennis ball. It's not heavy.
Oh, wow.
And the pins are heavy. But that's like in Massachusetts and Cape Cod, right, Joe, when we go to Cape Cod.
Wow.
So you got to try all three games, and you got to compare all three.
Yeah, I do. That's interesting.
Yeah, you take mom and you say, oh, listen, we should try try this. This is going to be really easier for you, right?
But if you were to check, if anyone were to face my dad in Wii Bowling, he would be.
Oh, Wii Bowling. Have you ever done that?
Of course.
Okay, three 300 games in a row.
Oh,
and the last
wow.
one I was on the phone.
Oh, wow. You're special.
Oh, my gosh. It was incredible. Yep.
That's big time.
What's your New Year's resolution or goal for 2024?
I think everybody in this building has the same. Go for number six.
That's very possible.
Yes. What about beyond basketball? We all want the repeat, right?
Yes. But, you know what I mean? Definitely my New Year's resolution, you know what I mean? I graduate this year. So
okay.
I'll say to graduate with at least finish with a 3.2 GPA. And I've been focused on that.
Excellent. So studies are very important to you.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that's important for me to pass along to a sixth grader.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite lines in 70 podcasts is Alex Caraban said that he studied the night before the Final Four, and he told his counselor that you're soft if you're not paying attention to school even the night before a big game.
Yep.
Now, I could not eat the night before that game, but that's me.
Alex is on another level.
He's like
smarts.
A superhero.
Yes.
He's like a Mecca Okafor who was like reading books while he was riding a bike in a game.
Yes, so, exactly.
So, and what is your major?
Sociology.
Sociology, excellent.
Who was the toughest college player you ever had to guard?
That would have to be in practice. It would have to be either Jordan Hawkins, Tristan Newton, and Cam Spencer.
And we just saw Cam Spencer on the way in. What a nice guy. And what a great answer. Your boys are going to listen to this.
Yeah.
You go outside of the team and say, yeah, the toughest guy was from whatever. And he's like, oh, they're tougher than me, huh? You guard me in practice. So he went ahead and hit him with the – he's walking out of here with his head held high. I love it. That's a great answer.
How about someone either like another team in the Big East or a team or a player in the SEC?
Well, good follow-up, Joe.
Yeah, that's a great follow-up question. I mean – the Big East has a lot of good guards. It definitely has to be.
You ever guarded Colin Gillespie last year?
No, I wasn't here for him.
You weren't?
No, I wasn't here for him.
Probably,
I'll say the toughest is probably Cam Jones of Marquette.
Okay.
But his teammate is very close to him in Tyler Kolek.
The Kolek, yeah. He's tough. A reigning
player
of the year.
Really good.
He was good.
All right. Today's NBA is full of world-class players. You can borrow some of their superpowers. Whose dribbling handles do you want currently?
Oh, yeah, that's easy. Kyrie Irving.
Thank you.
Kyrie Irving dribbling handle is the best. Like, he has the best handles in NBA history by far.
Better than AI.
Better than AI, and it's not even close.
Oh.
We talked about this on the way here. I'm not a Kyrie fan because I'm a Celtics fan, and I also don't like Duke.
So
there's two reasons I don't like Kyrie, and I'm not buying his sneakers either.
So
I'll take Tyler Halliburton, who did not have
Tyrese
a turnover.
Halliburton.
Tyrese Halliburton. Did I say, what did I say, Tyler? I have Tyler Oleander on my mind. Tyrese Halliburton. He had no turnovers.
And 20 assists the other night.
And 20 assists, or whatever, 40 assists in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
That was against major teams.
That's very good, but when we just talking about...
I know, he's saucy, and he gets you...
and creating space and using creativity to get baskets or get his teammates baskets, Kyrie is the number one.
All right, so you get Kyrie's handles. What else are you going to build?
Pick your favorite shooter's form.
Shooter's form?
Yeah. Or just shooting in general.
I mean, I guess Curry. You got to go with Steph Curry. Yeah. That's easy.
Your defensive skill.
My defensive skill?
I said Marcus Smart.
That's a good one. Me, I would go with Kawhi Leonard.
That's really
Kawhi
good.
Kawhi Leonard, I would say, is a ball hawk. He's unbelievable with his hands.
Have you ever seen the size of his hands?
Exactly.
My gosh. He makes a My dad ball looks Derek like a tennis White ball.
Because he does lead the league in most blocks for a point guard.
Derek White. Yeah, Derek White is an amazing player. Good. He does it all.
I like him a lot, yeah.
All right, and then what's your slashing slash dunking?
You can go a lot of different directions.
True.
Really? I say Aaron Gordon.
That's a very good
You could
one.
Go LeBron James, but I think Aaron Gordon is probably one of the best, like, dunkers in the league because of what he can do. He can go between the legs. You don't see LeBron doing that anymore.
Absolutely.
But I want Aaron Gordon.
I would go Anthony Edwards.
That'd oh, yeah. I totally Ant-Man. Forgot about him.
Ant-Man.
Yo, he's a special talent.
Yeah.
And he's very explosive, quick twitch guy. Mm-hmm. And he catches a lot of bodies down there.
He's so a quick twitch guy.
I will go with Ant-Man.
And I like Giannis. And then, just the power.
Giannis.
It's time to flush it, and I'm going to flush it.
So, and then we got IQ and smarts for the game. I originally said Luka, but I'm going to change mine to Jokic. Ooh. Jokic's IQ from passing to shooting to rebounds. It's
I'm gonna go a different direction, and I'm gonna say Jalen Brunson.
That's smart.
A Villanova guy.
He's a Knicks guy now. I'm a
he's
Knicks
a Knicks
fan.
Guy. Okay.
He's a Knicks guy. I don't count Villanova.
You could go Julius. Okay, Randle.
And I'm
you
gonna
go Julius Randle, RJ Barrett.
And I'm gonna say LeBron because he's like a general manager on the court.
That's an amazing pick too.
Yeah. You know, just speaking of Anthony Edwards for a second, not to interrupt you, Joe, but he's a tremendous talent. You know what I mean? If I walked in with him right now and I told you to play him one-on-one, you're a New York guy. What's going through your brain? Are you saying I'm gonna try to shut him down? Or,
oh, yes.
Are you thinking, oh, my God, this is Anthony Edwards. How am I going to – what are you thinking as a person?
I'm thinking I'm going to attack him the same way that – he ties his shoes, I tie my shoes as well.
Okay.
And we're going to go at it, and I'm going to make it tough on him, and he better make it tough on
same
me.
Same way you put on your pants and your sweatshirts.
Yep.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Yeah, and I told you, swagger, wow. New
confidence,
York.
Confidence.
He does not care who I would bring in here. It's kind of like if you're in a fight, Joe. Not that I ever want you to be in a fight, but you come home with a black eye. The first question I'm going to ask you is, did you give...
Yeah,
two.
How the other guy looks.
You see what I'm saying? And if you're playing the top guy, I at least, if he beats you, I want him to walk away and say, that guy gave me a real headache. I don't want to deal with that guy anymore. So, excellent. All right. Next year, maybe we come back with Anthony. Meet us here right after Christmas.
What are some of the differences between playing in the Big East and the SEC?
I would say the Big East is more physical. It's more grimier,
bigger
more
guys.
Gritty, bigger and stronger guys. And it's just, I'll say the attention to detail is a little bit better in the Big East as well. You know what I mean? They're playing you to your weaknesses. Teams are really scouting and trying to stop you every single play.
Okay.
And the physicality is the biggest difference.
And the scouting, you don't think is as heavy in the SEC?
No, the scouting is heavy, but I would say the different schemes on different players. I feel like in the SEC, they'll guard you the same way they're guarding your teammate. You know what I mean? But
okay.
Big East, they're gonna guard you differently. They're gonna guard your teammate differently. They're gonna guard your big man differently. They're gonna guard the kid off the bench differently than you.
Okay, and. Are you okay to make a comment about refereeing? Do you feel like the refereeing is any different?
No, I don't feel like the referee is any different. Maybe in the Bs they'll let you play a little bit more.
Okay. Because it used to be back in the day, you know, kind of like the NBA. If there's no blood, there's no foul.
Sometimes it is like that.
But now it's everything is, oh, that's hand checking. Yeah. But we're talking back in the day where the bad boys of the Pistons. Yeah. You know, that's when the Jordan rules got invented.
In my game, the guy tried to hit a Euro on me, goes like this. The ref sees me fall to the ground and doesn't call anything.
I'm yelling.
But he doesn't call anything.
As you should. It's tough, man. Refs, I mean, you got to give them credit, though. They do work hard.
Yes.
LeBron James and the Celtics. Yeah. We were at that game when LeBron fouled.
Remember he got fouled?
LeBron gets fouled.
Yeah, did you ever see that game? He gets fouled a lot, of course. But and he's a whiner, yeah. But... Yeah. Did you happen to see the game against the Celtics? Was it last year?
Yeah.
The one where Tatum did foul him.
Yes.
We were at that game. Oh, wow. We only go to once or twice a year.
Patrick Beverly
came out with a camera.
Did you see that?
And showed it to the ref. Live with a camera.
That must have been hilarious.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't believe it.
Everybody's like, oh my gosh. Did he get thrown out or did he give him
a check? He didn't get ejected. It was a technical, right? Patrick Beverly.
And then Dennis Schroeder, after LeBron got fouled, he fell to the ground and went like this. And then when the ref called a foul on him, he just fell down, laid down on the ground, and he got ejected.
Yeah.
Celtics Lakers is very exciting to watch.
Absolutely.
And you're a Knicks fan. You've been to the Garden a lot as a fan?
I've been to Madison Square Garden as a fan. Been as a player, which is a blessing.
And what did we just get for a Christmas present? Thank you, Mommy. Thank you, Renee, for a Christmas gift. Where are we going to see Hassan?
We're going to see you guys.
The rematch.
The rematch of St. John's in MSG.
Nice.
So we'll be there.
Because we were at the game when you guys first played them. Right. Now we're going after. Nice.
Yes, we're so glad you won that game. To have started off 0-2 in the Big East after going 10-1 very successfully would have been disheartening for you folks and us as well as fans.
Absolutely.
So go ahead and you got a couple more left?
Describe the most important shot you've ever made in your life, and I think I know what it is for Texas A&M.
Well, he was watching YouTube videos just before you.
TikTok.
I would say maybe not the most important, but definitely my favorite shot was at Texas A&M. We were playing Florida, and we went into overtime.
It was double overtime.
You get the ball.
You get the ball with .9 seconds left. You get the ball from the side, dribble to the top of the key, let it fly, make it.
I just love the fact that you got it play by play, man.
I mean, that's the incredible part about the YouTube is he looks up everybody. TikTok, yeah.
That's cool.
What about prior to college? Do you remember anything when you were Joe's age?
Prior to college, Joe's age.
So he's playing 11. Sixth 11. Grade travel, but what about when you were first in high school and stuff like that?
In high school, I don't think I hit any buzzer beaters, but I definitely hit like clutch free throws. You know?
Okay.
So like I remember when I was at Putnam Science Academy, we were playing on the road at Cushing, and they had a good team, and it was a tough place to play. Another double OT game.
Yeah.
It's a tie game. We got to go the length of the court and get the ball. And I'm dribbling. I go up to shoot, and one of the players trip me.
Oh.
Ref calls the foul, and now I get two free throws. There's like .1 on the clock. So after this, the game is over.
And it's a road game, so they're going bananas.
Yes, they are going bananas. But, I mean, you had to call it. It was a trip.
Right.
So I go to the line, shoot the first one. I make it, and it's basically game. They can't get another shot up.
Right.
The second one, I remember I tried to miss it on purpose so they don't even get a chance to even get a shot up. And it still went in. But we ended up winning that game. So and that's a vivid memory I have from high school.
Big free throws on the road when everybody doesn't want you to make them. How do you calm yourself to be able to say, let's get all this noise away? On the flip side, you go to the XL, you could hear a pin drop, and that's also eerily weird.
Yeah.
How do you pretend like you're in your driveway?
Honestly, every time I go to the line, you know, I take a deep breath.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And try to focus up. You know what I mean? Be present, be in a moment, but I always breathe before I shoot.
Okay.
And then it's second nature, you know what I mean? We shoot free throws every day.
Yeah.
Shoot 100 free throws damn near every day, so.
Okay.
It's just.
So it just takes you back to the place that you are normally used to being, a good breath, and settles yourself, and that's what you do.
My friend actually just, so we were in the game, my second day, first game, tournament game, when we went into double overtime, my friend, he's probably our best player. His name is Kaysen. He had 18 points that game. He dribbled up the floor, passed the ball, they gave him it back in the corner, stepped back, and he hit a three to tie the game, to send it in the first overtime. Then my other friend, to go into double overtime, hit a layup. I forgot who it was. And then my friend Aiden gets fouled at the free throw line with like 2 seconds left. And he makes the first one, so we probably know we're going to win. Then he makes the second one, and then we know it's game.
It was exciting because we were down 6 with, I think, 40 seconds left to go and made 2 threes. So
nice.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And Joseph had a couple points in the game, and we ended up winning by 2.
Yeah, I seen a little jumper by him. It was tough. I like that.
Joseph, you got how many more on your warm-up list?
2 more. What sports and hobbies did you enjoy at 11 years old?
11 years old, I just got into basketball at 11. But other hobbies, I just used to go to the park with my friends, and we used to just play handball. We used to just do a lot of playing tag and just run around.
Okay.
That's how you get your speed?
Yeah.
So you just started playing basketball at 11?
I started playing basketball at 10, but didn't really, like, take it serious. And then at the age of 11 is where I just started, you know what I mean, continuing to play organized basketball.
Okay. Now, have you ever played basketball at Rucker Park?
Yes.
I
played there when I was actually younger. I was probably in the 7th grade when I played in
there. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And give him the last one. He may have to think about this one now.
Tell us your favorite Dan Hurley story.
Ooh. I mean, I have a ton of coach stories. My favorite one would be after we won the national championship, though. And I mean, it was we were all in a locker room, and it was just like an emotional thing. And then how coach just like brought us together, and just, you know, I mean, everybody just like hugged it out. Cool.
Amazing.
I will remember that forever.
Absolutely. That's tremendous. Well, many of our fans know that Joseph plays and loves both baseball and basketball. And at 11 years old, seasons have ups and downs, slumps, losing streaks, playing time issues, mixed with the thrill of winning, which you guys, you know, won yesterday. So we're always looking for young role models and inspiration. And we've been watching you closely, Hassan. Now, I grew up watching some wonderful UConn players like John Gwynn, the Microwave, Ricky Moore, a national champion like yourself, Rashad Anderson, Niels Giffey. They didn't always start, but are remembered as impactful players. They left a mark on the program's decorated history. What's your mental preparation and advice for young players on limited minutes or coming off the bench?
I would say the main thing is staying focused and staying locked in and just being ready. I'll say when you come off the bench, if you're playing limited minutes, you still have to have that confidence that you're able, you belong out there as well. You know what I mean? You're coming in, you want to be a spark. You want to get stuff going as well. You know what I mean? But that comes with being ready. That comes with having preparation. That comes with having the confidence. Confidence comes from your preparation.
Okay. I love it. Now, you go through a warm-up layup line. You sit down. Let's say you don't come in till late in the first half. You're not as warmed up as the guys that just came in immediately. So how do you all of a sudden get into your rhythm? You know what I mean?
I would say, you know what I mean? When I go in a game, it's like, all right, so how fast can I get to my rhythm?
Yeah.
It's all right.
Do you do something special to get it going? How do you have the Hassan effect?
It's just playing as hard as I can.
Okay.
With as soon as I get in. I'll say that warms me up, you know what I mean? And it's not, you know what I mean, me scoring a bucket. It's me on defense pestering the other guy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Pestering the offensive person. Because when I come in the game, I'm actually fresh. I'm fresher than most players, which is an advantage because I'm not tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not tired at all. So I can get everything I have. And they're tired, so I'm wearing them out more and more and more. And that's the way I get into the game.
Okay. I love the idea of the wear you down.
Yes.
Imagine if it was a fight and two guys were fighting, and then all of a sudden you come in
and
there's a person that's already gone 4 or 5 rounds. Yeah. They've taken a bunch of punches. You go in there and you're ready to...
I haven't taken one punch yet.
You're ready to start throwing and say, let me see how many more you could take because I'm fresh. You know, I have great appreciation, especially as a dad looking at this, wanting my son to go in immediately and stay in there the whole time.
Yeah.
I even want him to stay in there when the lights go off and the team is left. But I have a great appreciation for players getting 10 or 15 minutes who need to contribute almost immediately, which you do, versus ones who are usually guaranteed max minutes and can let the game come to them and maybe have a longer stretch to be able to figure out how they want to get their shots in and stuff like that. Go ahead, Joseph. Why don't you ask your first regular question?
Coming out of high school, why did you choose a school in Texas and not what was it like there?
I chose to go to Texas. I wanted to actually like try something new. But I did build a good relationship with the coach over there, Buzz Williams. And my time over there was actually good. You know what I mean? I enjoyed myself. I had some great teammates, played with some great players. It's definitely my sophomore year was a great time. We ended up going to the NIT championship. Unfortunately, we didn't win. But that was a great season for us because that school has never been there before.
Yeah.
So we kind of got to raise a banner for that, got a ring for that. But my time there was special. I appreciate Texas A&M for taking me in and treating me like family and having a great time over there.
And Texas, what were some of the things, you know, you're a New England guy, New York born, Connecticut, a big part of your life. You go to Texas, they have some killer barbecue, right? What other things about Texas do you appreciate? I've never been before.
Texas is actually an amazing place. The weather is always nice.
Okay.
It rarely gets cold. I remember being there on Christmas one year. I think it was my freshman year, and it was like 85 degrees outside. Mm. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. But, you know what I mean? They do have good, great barbecue out
yep.
there. Man, one thing I would say about Texas is the people are very, very kind and very nice.
Nice people. They say everything's bigger in Texas. Now, do you want to share with Hassan who your favorite football team is?
My favorite football team is definitely the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Ooh. He went off of Boston there, didn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a Giants guy, so.
Okay.
We are still better.
Well.
We don't like the Cowboys.
He told me one time I'm dropping him off at school and he said, respect the star. I mean, come on.
And then the second part to this question, tell us how the opportunity came to move closer to home and join your brother's team here at UConn?
Well, the opportunity presented itself. You know, I decided I wanted to make a change, and the opportunity presented itself because a lot of the guys were leaving this program, and coach had to find a way to bring guys in through the transfer portal. I was blessed for him to recruit me. Part of it, and I saw the vision in him, he saw the vision in me, so I mean it was a great fit. And to come closer to home, this is one of my dream schools coming out of high school already. Many people don't know that, but so it was like a no-brainer for me.
And that's
then,
great.
And then my brother was here. My brother actually didn't recruit me here, you know what I mean? He was just more like a big brother, just guiding me through the process, you know, telling me, you know, I mean, whatever decision you make, I'm gonna roll with it, and I believe in you. But definitely wanted to be here with him, so I'm glad I coach wanted me, and I'm glad.
That's amazing. So UConn was a dream school coming out of college, and you did have Big East offers, right?
Yes, I had a couple Big East offers.
That's cool.
Do you know the teams, or do you remember the teams?
Yeah, I had St. John's, Seton Hall.
Imagine the Red Storm with Hassan Diarra, Champagne, and what was the other guy?
Oh, they had one tough guy when we went to Madison Square Garden a couple of years ago.
Posh
Alexander. Oh, Posh Alexander. Yeah, he
was
tough.
That's a three starting three.
Yeah.
Damn, that would have been crazy. But
good thing that didn't happen. So now you attended school in Connecticut at Putnam Science Academy, coached by Tom Espinosa, won a prep school title. You were the number one, two of them.
Two preps.
I apologize. I didn't want to take one away from you. My goodness. you were the number one player in the state. Scored just under 1,500 career points. What made you so successful there and prepared you to play for national championships in college?
You know, I mean, the program over there at Putnam is amazing. I mean, they take the time to really develop you and coach you hard. I learned so much from being there. They gave me the opportunity to show my talents. My brother went there, so the relationship was already built. It was cool, man, and I had a great experience there. But you know, I mean, they taught me how to work hard.
Yeah.
And that's what prepared me for college.
You think that if it didn't work as hard, where would you be today?
I mean, who knows where I would be.
You could be.
I'll probably be back in New York doing something else. You know what I mean? Who knows? I can't even imagine what I would be doing.
You could have been at Syracuse. You could have been at anything.
Yeah. I love it. He says, if you didn't work hard, you'd end up at Syracuse.
Or you could have ended up St. John's. You could have ended up anywhere.
Yeah,
or maybe not even in basketball,
yeah,
Joe. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I'm saying that.
I tell Joseph, you know, as he transitions possibly out of baseball this year, he wants to continue to do basketball more and more. And we're hoping his height will continue to you know, we want to have that 4, 5, 6 inch summer so that he can continue to blossom and get a bit taller, because that's a big part of the game.
Yeah.
We'll see where it takes him, as his love of talking about sports can also match his love of playing. Go ahead with your next one, Joe.
Growing up, you probably attended various clinics and had several coaches. There's lots of focus on scoring. Who taught you how to play nasty, tough defense?
So I had this coach when I was your age. He coached me all through grade school. His name is Coach Omar. But he taught me to be tough and to affect the game in more ways than just putting the ball in the hole.
Okay.
And I'm grateful for him. He taught me that all through grade school. So that prepared me for high school, and that prepared me for college, you know what I mean? Because there's so much more ways than you could affect the game than just scoring the ball. And I'm glad I was taught that from young.
Absolutely.
And then my dad loves blocks, turnovers, steals, and stops. I'll take any tips you have.
I'll say be aggressive. You know what I mean? Sometimes if you want to get steals, I shouldn't tell you this, but you know what I mean? You gotta take chances.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do have to reach.
My coach calls it, like, sometimes you want to gamble a little.
Yeah.
Like, a little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess Joe's challenge is, they say he plays up on somebody a little too much because he doesn't mind being physical. Mm-hmm. He wants to be a little handsy with you. But then if the guy's got a little speed, next thing you know, he's by him.
Yep.
So they actually warn him, give a little space so the guy doesn't go by you as much and you can kind of shadow him more. But I would like for him to increase his anticipation of maybe picking off some passes and going down the other way,
yeah,
like a DB or a cornerback,
yeah, yeah,
or something like that. How do you get that to grow?
I'll say one thing, when you're guarding on the ball and you know somebody's kind of faster and quicker than you, you want to give them an arm length or a part.
Okay.
You want to be arm length from them because that way you're able to touch their shot if they pull up, and you're also to stay in front of them, keep them between you and the basket. Feel me? But when you're in passing lanes and you're anticipating, you want to read the passer's eyes. You're looking at the passer, but you're also aware of where your man is.
My coach calls that denying, where you're looking at the ball, but you're also like looking at your man.
But I love the eyes, because that's kind of like on a football field,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you want to
see the QB where he's throwing.
You're trying to read where the ball is going to go next.
Okay.
And that's just anticipation, Sometimes, you know, people that are passing the ball are very crafty and they look you off. But a lot of the time, especially at your age, they're wherever they look, they're going to pass it.
And then you could jump it, the route, if you will. Yeah. So that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Look them off the arm's length so you have the ability to do two things. Contest, go up, contest, and keep them in front of you.
Also, when you're like arm's length apart and your hand is like in the middle, it's harder for them to like cross over in front of you, because if they cross over, the ball is literally going to come right to your hand. Yeah.
Right. Now, we might have to arrange something in our driveway. You have a car?
I do.
Okay, this is going to work out perfectly. And you have Omar's number as well,
yes,
I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay, once we get off the air, we'll end up setting up a little tournament in our driveway.
All right.
You like pizza, right?
I do.
Oh, this is going to work out perfectly.
Alex Caravan, maybe?
You got Alex's number, right?
Of course.
So you got Alex's number, Spencer's number, Newton's number, Cunningham's number.
We'll just have them all come on over and we'll do a little demo, right? Yeah. All right, well, I want to revisit the NCAA tournament last year. Now, we heard lots of great stories from Alex after the parade. We're proud of both of you. Something that really interests me, though, and I admire, is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Hassan, around the Miami game, it was reported that you, Adama, and Samson Johnson were all fasting.
Yes.
Would you walk us through how you, the staff, and coaches successfully prepare for high-level play while maintaining your faith in relation to food and liquid? How and when does it start, and how were you able to accomplish the goal with it being so challenging? You're getting dehydrated, and you need a cup of water.
Yeah. You know, it was a holy month for our religion, which is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Muslim. Me, Adama, Sam, my brother, and that's a month where we have to do a fast from sunrise to sunset, no food or water. We were able to do this because we would be up lit early in the morning before the sun would rise. We'll have a meal. Hopefully that'll hold us for the longest possible.
What kind of a meal are we talking about? You having 55 pancakes or?
Nah, not 55 pancakes, but you know what I mean? It could be anything. It could be from a sandwich. It could be some rice and chicken, some rice and steak. But chicken, you want to get a lot of carbs because
okay,
you're going to burn it.
Yeah.
Burn that fuel. But
and is that meal any different on a game day versus a regular day?
No, it's the same thing I would say for a regular day, because I mean, it's hard when you're not playing as well.
Right.
When you're fasting. But I would say it was, for us, it was just about digging deeper.
Okay.
And staying with our faith because we believe in it so much.
Yep.
But also, like, yeah, it's hard, but we're able to do this. And we believed in that we can do this. And this is going to be better for us, for our future, and make us stronger men.
Absolutely. And so you did have a couple of games. I mean, because this coincides with March Madness.
Yes, yes.
Which makes it even a little bit more wild for somebody to appreciate.
I would say we played, I would say when we got to Vegas, all those games were we was fasting against Arkansas and against Gonzaga.
You guys, because the Gonzaga game started at 8:10, and for, I was watching this on TikTok, sunset set at 7:40, and you guys had a game at 40 minutes later, or
yeah.
No, I'm not doing that, 30 minutes later, and then, so, I heard that you guys, like, ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich,
because
doesn't it help, I can't say
digest?
Digest faster.
Yes.
So that's
and
a.
So,
and then you guys
got. I forget what game it was, but I know at halftime, it was the time to break our fast and finally eat. And
oh, you could break it at halftime of that.
Yes.
Okay.
So, at halftime they gave us peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I like peanut butter honey sandwiches.
Oh, cool.
So ate a banana and just hydrate, but you can't eat too much because we still got another half.
Of course.
To play.
So the staff is pretty well versed. Do we have a nutrition? I say we, like I'm on the team. Do you guys have a nutritionist on the staff?
Yeah, we have a nutritionist. But at the time, the nutritionist wasn't traveling with us.
Okay.
But in the locker room, we have snacks available.
Okay.
For anybody that gets hungry.
Sure.
We are very well prepared.
Yep.
Credit to the coaching staff. Yep. They did a great job with us.
Now, Adama, who's a workhorse, he's banging, he's getting hot, he's getting sweaty. If I'm reading this correctly, is it possible that he's playing a half and he can't even have a drink of water?
That's exactly what he was doing. He played, I forget what game it was, but he definitely played the whole half and didn't drink a lick of water. I remember I got in there, I don't know, maybe it was the Arkansas game. I got in there for a couple minutes and I came back and I was like, yo, this is crazy.
I'm starting to fade. You know, you were talking about coming in fresh, yeah. And I'm going to get ready to attack, Anthony Black, yes, who's in the NBA right now?
Yes.
You're coming in, and you're like, I feel light, you know?
Yeah, I remember coming back, and my mouth was, like, very, very dry. I said, Jen, can you just give me, like, some water so I could wash my mouth out?
Okay.
That's the most we can do.
Wash and spit, almost like a prize fighter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think Adam was doing a lot of that.
Okay.
Which helped him, I guess. But credit to him.
Unbelievable.
So you guys could have that same thing this year, too? Does it happen every year?
Yeah, it happens every year. This time it'll be moved up a little bit. It'll be a little bit sooner. So it'll be probably in the middle of March.
The Big East tournament?
Yeah, probably around there.
Well, it just happens to be when the tournaments start.
Well, at least that one's not as big as March Madness.
Well, no, it'll go through March Madness.
Oh.
Because it's 1 month long.
Yeah.
Incredible. Days. Well, you guys have a plan. And
you guys just got to get lucky where it ends in the first or second game. Yeah.
But they know how to manage it. They got the trophy.
Now you only have right two players, you and Samson, or is there another one?
It's just me and Sam. Yusuf.
Well, it's tremendous that you guys were able to do it. You know, not as much of a big deal is made about it to say how to be such a great athlete and to not have all the nourishment that you need to get through a game.
Yeah.
Adama Sanogo is a big guy.
Yeah,
he's fighting against Drew Timmy, who a lot of people consider to be one of the greatest college basketball players of the last 20 years in college. Apparently, it didn't translate to the NBA game, as we know that, you know, different bodies and skill sets are more appreciated in the NBA.
Because if you're big, you got to learn how to shoot.
Yeah.
But for a point guard, you just got to know how to pass and get a couple rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, you're really good at it. Defense, scoring.
I know, I love it.
Passing.
But imagine having to deal with Drew Timmy and then you can't drink any water. It's just incredible. And so I had to hear a little bit of the background.
Yeah.
And then when it's all done, when did it actually finish? Did it finish after the championship was won?
It finished after the championship was won, probably about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks later.
So even after the parade?
Yeah. I think we were fasting during the parade.
Mm.
And then I think that night, that following week is when it ended.
Do you bond as brothers and have like a celebratory meal or something like that?
We have a big celebration with our families and all. And it's just all love and camaraderie.
Well, that's great. To believe in something that's bigger than you is something that you can count on when the chips are down in life.
Absolutely.
And they will be at some point. So I appreciate you doing that. And I'm glad you guys have a good plan to continue to stay healthy.
Yes.
Joseph, go ahead for another one.
25 years from now, I may be coaching the Boston Celtics.
Nice.
Announcing games like John Fanta, or I might be Coach Dan Hurley's replacement. What will you tell your family as your favorite memories from winning the 2023 National Championship?
Ooh. I mean...
And the UConn's men's basketball team 6th or 5th, and then they're all together for men and women, they're 16th.
I would say my favorite memory from last year was there's so many.
Just
there's
winning it and so then many. Seeing Coach Hurley cut down the net.
So many.
You guys wearing the hats.
Yeah.
That was I have the hat.
I would say actually when we won in Vegas, it was one of my favorite moments because it was surreal. It was like, wow, like, we're about to go to the Final Four.
Incredible. And to reach a Final Four is something that this program hadn't done in years.
My dad was going to go to the
I almost went. It just didn't work out, but I was going to go. Yeah. And so that was really exciting for you guys, huh?
And yes, and you could see the joy in everybody's faces, like parents, family, and friends. They were sat behind us, and everybody just wanted to come on the court and celebrate with us. And as we walked back after the celebration and all that, they gave us the hats, the shirts. We're all hugging everybody's families and enjoying the moment. Some people are crying, and that was an unforgettable moment.
Incredible. Now, you guys are the two athletes at the table. I just worry about the outcomes of stuff. I'm just a fan. You seem to sleep peacefully, like nothing bothers you. Hassan, the night before, you have an idea of who you may guard, this team you may face. You've heard about them on ESPN. They're supposed to score this many points. Do you sleep well at night, or are you thinking about this stuff? Or are you dreaming about it?
Who's your doormate?
Samson Johnson.
You live with Samson?
Yeah, yeah.
You live here on campus, or yes. you do?
We live on campus.
Okay.
Yeah. But the night before a game, you want to get as much sleep as possible. But before going to sleep, you want to have a little routine, I would say.
Okay, routine's big with you.
And I think that will help you sleep. Like me personally, I like watching film on the other team.
Okay.
Watch one of their games before I fall asleep.
See who you might have to guard.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe what their tendencies are.
But as a team, the night before a game, we get on a Zoom with a mental skills coach.
Oh, good.
He helps us with our breathing and settling our mind.
I love it.
And I think that's big. That's key for us, which it gives us just a little bit of an advantage.
That's great. Any advantage you can have could make the difference.
It's a lot.
But do I sleep? I try my best to sleep. I sleep a little bit.
I slept 13 hours.
Wow.
So much.
13 hours.
He wakes up too early.
I've been waking up at 9 o'clock every single day of break. The earliest hours. The latest I've woke up is 10:30.
Wakes up at 9 and he's got a Fortnite crew together by 9:05. Apparently he's getting your situation, and you're going to have your headsets on screaming while I'm in trying to write podcast notes. All right. Well, from your viewpoint, how has Coach Hurley given this team the blueprint to try and repeat last year's success? And what needs to happen during the Klingon street close weeks to keep that plan on track?
I just think Coach is doing a great job of telling us where we need to improve. Like right now, we're top 5 in offensive efficiency. But our defense is number 24. And
that's all right. But
that's all right, exactly.
You got to bring it up, right?
It's not the best, but it is definitely not the worst.
We want top 10.
Absolutely. But you understand, like, last year, the reason why we won is because our defense was top 5 and our offense was number 6.
As well. 5 and 6?
5 and 6.
And right now you're in the 20s?
20s in defensive efficiency. So,
okay.
Just pounding that in our brain every day, especially this break. We didn't play since the 23rd, so we had a lot of time to focus up on things where we need to work on, fine-tune them, get better at them, and took a lot of advantage of these days that we had to work on that, and I think Coach has done an amazing job with that, and we just have to go out and show it in the game.
That's great. Like, for example, today's practice was how long?
Probably 2 hours and 10 minutes.
And is it a good good amount of it is on defense?
Yes, there's a good amount of it on defense, but it's a collective thing. Defense, rebounding, offense, offensive breakdown, defensive breakdown. How we want to guard ball screens on the side, how we want to guard ball screens from the top, how we want to guard flat ball screens. Just different schemes and different ways, and the coaching staff in there is just amazing.
And do you feel, I agree, do you feel that the responsibilities of each individual player changes tremendously with the 7-footer in a boot?
Yes, I mean, definitely, you know, guys got to step up because, you know, he's a major focal point in our team.
Yusuf Samson,
but it's also on the guards as well. Rebounding has been an issue for us the past two games, and I would say that's part of the guards. We got to get in there and rebound more.
Okay, that's good. Joseph, you got another one?
I sometimes dream about playing basketball in college. Can you give me an idea of what my standard school week at UConn looks like during the season?
Standard school week? So like a regular Monday would be for freshmen to come in. Let's say they have class at 9:10, 9:05. You come in, you have to check in for breakfast before you get to class. So you'll come in, check in probably 8:30, get up at 8, check in 8:30, go to class. Somebody to check your class, make sure you're in class, take notes. Let's say you got another class at 10:10. So you go from one class to another. Then you go to the gym. You probably go get some treatment after that. Probably around, I'll say 11:15, get some treatment. Get on the court, get some shots up before practice. But before practice, you want to get a little snack. So you'll go upstairs. They'll have lunch out. You'll have some lunch. Get back downstairs. Get ready for practice. We'll probably have film first. Or warm up in the weight room. Then we will practice for about two and a half hours. After practice, you'll get like 15 minutes. Get your shots up. I mean, ball handling. Whatever it is that you need to work on. Go to the weight room, team lift. You'll lift with your team. Then after that, we'll sometimes have another film session, depending on who, if we play against somebody or if not. Then, I mean, your day is kind of over, but it's not really over because you want to get treatment to make sure your body is fresh for the next day. And then you can also come back at night, work out. Get your work in, work on what you need to work on. But then you go home, you got homework, you got to do some homework.
I'm already tired. Yeah. I mean, how you do this every day?
Yeah.
Well, Dad, this was when he was a freshman. Now he's a senior.
I mean,
true, but it gets harder.
As a senior, yeah, you get a little bit less classes. You'll have one.
Because don't you get, like, those credits up?
Yeah.
Do you go to school, like, do you use your credits to where you go to school on a Monday, a Tuesday, and a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
My schedule is pretty good. You know, there's a lot more online classes. So, like, Tuesdays, I'll have two classes, and Thursdays, I'll have one class. But then I have online classes that I have to look up on every day. But, yeah, that's how a schedule will go, yeah. And then... I mean, at night, you want to watch a movie.
Yeah. So, Sam, Solo and Jaden, who we've talked to in the past, texting each other, trying to get a setup. But freshmen, they're tough. There's a lot that they have to try to do.
Yeah,
and
that's why it's such a big adjustment for freshmen.
They were taking a while to respond.
Yeah,
messaged them one day.
Well, they had to go to orientation. Then they were in New York. Yeah.
Three weeks later, they finally respond. Say, yeah, we could do it.
You could tell that there's...
We could do it. Just pick out some dates and we'll see. 3 weeks later, none of these dates are going to work.
There's so much to balance.
It's tough for the freshmen.
And we still never
They're
got
doing
them.
Doing a good job, man.
And behind That's great. It says Jaden Ross was here.
Yeah, so we're actually in a study hall right now. We're in the Worth Champion Center.
Yes, absolutely. And I forgot to say, after practice, there are study hall.
Yep.
But, you know what I mean, for freshmen, there's more study hall than I get because I'm a senior. But I have to check in with my advisor to make sure I'm on top of my work.
That's great, and they keep up on that here.
So, would classes run on the whole day? Like, if a teacher was in class, on the whole day. Then you have a class at 10:10. You can just get up and leave, go to that class, and then more people will come into this class. Or do you guys have like bells that say, switch?
So there aren't any bells, but like the professor, you know what I mean, when it's time. like, they'll have a time out. So, like, let's say it's 9:05 to 9:55 is the class. When 9:55 hits, you can leave. The professor's supposed to allow you to leave.
But would they keep with the other people in your class, would they keep going with that lesson? Or
I mean, the professors are usually good with it, so they built lesson plans to where it'd be 50 minutes long if the class is 50 minutes long.
Okay.
But if it's 40, or what if it's an hour and 5 minutes long? Do they have other lesson plans or something?
Yeah, then they plan for too long. They usually just cut it short and we'll finish it the next class. Yeah. But sometimes people, we have class after practice as well.
Look at that.
A couple of people that don't have that.
Who's Donovan Klingon's roommate?
Alex Caravan.
Yeah, remember Alex told us that Donovan likes to vacuum first thing in the morning, remember? Yep. With his fishing bucket hat on.
Yep.
All right, well, we're going to take a small break, and then we'll come back and ask a couple more questions to Hassan Diarra, who we're so grateful is with us. And we're right here in the Champions, the Worth Center. And, I'm looking right out at the 5 championship flags. We had a great little tour while Hassan was getting treatment done and massaged to be able to help after the intense Hurley practice. Got to see all the different NBA players that have been drafted and all the great pieces of 2023 swag that they have up on the walls. And so this is a great facility that they're able to eat in. New restaurant was just put in as well, right, Hassan?
Not a restaurant, but yeah, new kitchen.
New kitchen. Yeah. So that Mamadou was eating in there when we first came in, and Cam Spencer and everything. So we'll take a small break, and we'll be right back on the Sliders and Curveballs podcast. Alrighty, so we're back. Thank you so much for joining us, especially all of our great UConn fans. So one of my favorite parts, Hassan, of the season so far was on the road versus Gonzaga. The team was playing really well, tough opponent, excellent coach. We have history with that school. I'm watching the game. Obviously, you're playing in it. So the Zags cut the lead to 10 with 4 minutes to go. And I believe it was the play-by-play announcer, Shulman, says to Jay Billis, "Here come the Zags," or something to that effect. The door is now open for the comeback. I'm thinking to myself, I hope to God not. I mean, watching them do great up until right about now, it's a 10-point lead.
Yep.
So you, my friend, on the next 2 possessions, you come in, you drive the lane, you explore it, alley-oop to Donovan. Now the lead is 12. Then there's a deflection. You're out on a run out on a fast break. You get a layup, flex to the crowd. Now the lead is 14. And then Jay Billis goes ahead and says, "That's Hassan Diarra. The door just closed again." What does it feel like to come in back-to-back possessions? Somebody's trying to make a run. And then all of a sudden, like you said, fresh legs, fresh energy. You just turn the water right off and say, "There's not going to be any possibility for you today."
I mean, that environment was so amazing. We were playing so well at the time. They cut it to 10 with 4 minutes left, and you know, I mean, I think I was subbing back in, and in my head, I'm just like, we have to be the most locked in, the most focused that we've been to close out this game, because this is a good team, a very well coached team, and I think. And, you know, I mean, before we get out to the huddle, and you know, I mean, I brought the guys in. Let's be locked in here defensively, offensively. Let's get a good shot. Let's go on the other end, and let's check off on all our assignments. And I just wanted to come in there and just, you know, I mean, do what I've been taught. You know, I mean, these coaches done a great job putting us in positions to make plays, and that's all I wanted to do, and that's all I did was make plays.
And you really did. It was exciting. Whether you're up 5, down 5, or there's 5 minutes to go and the game is tied, you're the same person regardless, it seems to be.
Yeah, I try to be, man. Staying consistent, staying level-headed, no matter how the game is going. Because, you know, I mean, the game, there's so many good players, so many good teams, that basketball is a game of runs, and a lot of things occur throughout the game.
Well, we wanted to thank you so much for joining us and spending time with a father and son. We knew that you'd be the perfect guest to end the year. Okay. And I wanted to share with you something that I talk with Joseph about. Dan Hurley, I think, has referred to it as, we need some dogs. We're looking for some dogs in this locker room or on this court. I say to Joseph a little saying called ants at a picnic. And we include you in this category. Now, bear in mind, I'm not a coach. I care very deeply, but I'm just a dad. I'm a fan. So I say this to you, Joseph. You know, you're not going to be Shaquille O'Neal, to my knowledge, or Donovan, even if you stand on Hassan's shoulders. But that doesn't mean that you can't star in your role, as you've seen Hassan has done and continues to do. And you can star in your minutes that you've earned and the stuff, the stat sheet, as I always say. When they call your number. But my analogy about the ants at the picnic is, you know, sometimes you have this picnic. It's all planned out. It's a beautiful day at the beach, we'll say. Picnic lunch. You got your fruit cup. It's all cut up. You got your favorite sandwiches, chips. Everything's laid out on your blanket. And then all of a sudden, you take a minute or two to go look at the waves or say hello to some friends, and somebody crashes the party. You come back to the food, and who's there?
The ants.
Ants. Nobody invited them.
They're disturbing.
Nobody expected them. Ants saw their opportunity and they attacked. They're very small. On most days, you might not even give them a second thought.
Yep.
Did that happen to us? Remember we brought pizza to my camp?
Exactly. That's kind of where I came up with the idea.
So we brought pizza to like this camp gather around because it was like the second to last day.
Three boxes of New Haven pizza.
Three boxes of pizza. They were clapping. My parents stand up and go clap. The ants are all
we open up the lid and they're covered with ants. That's where the idea came from,
yeah.
The camp. And I said, and, you know, in just a few minutes, they got into everything. They ruined the entire setup. We had to throw all the food away. And ants are 100% pests. And I look at a basketball game as a picnic, one big picnic. So I want to wish both you, Joseph, and Hassan fantastic winter season. Both be disruptive ants. I love watching both of you compete. Joseph, I love you. And Hassan, thank you so much for being with us today. It was really great to hear from you, your experience level. And I think that you're doing such a great job here at the school. And we want to wish you the best success.
Thank you for having me. This was truly a blessing, truly a pleasure to be with you guys.
Thank you so much. And we will, we're going to text you because we're going to get you out on the driveway.
All right.
And I don't know,
bring
maybe we'll bring. We might bring a few of them. We'll play a game of horse or something.
Do you know anyone on your team who has a girlfriend on the girls' team? You know any about that?
No. Naeem left. Naeem was dating Nika, but he transferred. That was the only one.
Oh really? Yeah. He went to St. John's.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Naeem Molina, Hassan Diarra. The
champagne
and then the other one.
Yeah. Well, look at that. Look at that. Interesting. Well, yeah, that's what college life is all about. Sometimes you're dating them and sometimes you've got to stay focused. Paige Beckers and Donovan Klingon. My goodness. All right. Well, this is a good time to say thank you so much for joining us, and we wish everybody a happy new year. Peace.
Thank you.